Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us here today for today's mission status update of STS-135. Here with me today is the lead station flight director, Chris Edelin. He'll begin with a few remarks, and then we'll open the floor for some questions. Chris.
Thank you, Amika. Well, I'm pleased to report another good day in space today. We followed up yesterday's successful EVA with today a busy day of cargo transfer. That was the theme for today. The crew is now about halfway complete of unloading the Raffaello multipurpose logistics module, moving that cargo out of the module and into the space station, and bringing back the spare parts, the trash, and the other various pieces of equipment that will be coming back to Earth back into the logistics module. So about halfway complete, we're running ahead of the schedule as far as the remainder of the mission is concerned for cargo transfer. For Atlantis mid-deck cargo, we're also about halfway complete. Again, we're right on schedule with that. So today, the crew of Atlantis spent most of their day supporting cargo operations. If you saw some of the downlink video, you may have noticed that it's very cluttered in the logistics module. There's bags and boxes everywhere, just like at your house on moving day. But it's a controlled chaos. The team here in Houston is working very closely with the crew. They've choreographed the movements of equipment in and out of the logistics module so that there's a place for everything. And we're making sure very carefully that everything that we need to be resupplied on the station ends up on the station, and everything that we want to come home ends up on Raffaello. So we also had a great assistance today from our Russian crew members on board the space station. They helped out with the cargo transfer task, as well as Satoshi Furukawa, our JAXA astronaut on the space station. Mike Fossum today, he went into our closet on the space station. That's the permanent mating adapter number 3 that's attached to the Tranquility module. He went into that closet and retrieved an old piece of hardware that's no longer required. It's the resistive exercise device, or IRED, and it was the early weightlifting or resistive exercise device that was used in the early days of the space station program to keep astronauts healthy. He retrieved that old piece of hardware, and it is also being moved back into the logistics module for return. That's going to free up a lot of storage space in the permanent mating adapter number 3, and we'll use that to improve our stowage situation on the space station. So that was something that we took advantage of the extra day on the mission to add that activity. That was not originally part of this flight plan, but with the additional day that Atlantis is going to stay docked, that allowed us to complete that activity. Ron Guerin today, he spent several hours working on the space station toilet, the waste hygiene compartment, WHC. He replaced several components there that were starting to give some noises and vibrations that were indicating that those components were approaching their end of life, and he replaced those. And now reports that the space station toilet is working just fine. So, of course, when you have a lot of company that brought up a bunch of food and fresh supplies, you want to be good hosts and have a toilet that works when they're there. So we're pleased to report that the space station toilet is fully operational, and we've even invited the shuttle crew members to use it if they need to. And we also followed up on yesterday's spacewalk with some reports from the crew on their spacesuit fits, and we have determined that there's no problems with the spacesuits, and everything's good in that department. We also, today on the space station, resumed processing of the urine processor apparatus. As all of you know, we do recycle urine into drinking water on the space station. This is an important technology that we are demonstrating and perfecting in low Earth orbit so that it can be used on future missions into deep space. It's vitally important that we recycle all our water, all forms of our water, because it's so heavy, and you can't resupply a mission with water when you're far from the Earth, and it's very rare in the solar system. So it's important that we have that system working. We resumed processing today, and that system is working well. So just to give you a couple examples of some of the hardware that was moved over today, speaking of our urine recycling system, we moved over some new recycle filter tank assemblies that are used to filter the urine and turn that into new drink into fresh drinking water. We got a new spare wireless EVA transceiver assembly, which allows the spacewalking astronaut's helmet cam to be transmitted to the monitors to the crew on board and to us on the ground. So we've got an additional spare. We also transferred over a distillation assembly for our urine processing apparatus, and lots and lots of food and clothes. So again, it was a very successful day, and the crew's doing great. We're not working any issues on Atlantis, and the space station's also in great shape. For tomorrow's plan, we're going to finally give both the U.S. and Russian crew half a day off. They're going to do half a day of transfer in the morning. The Russians will be working on replacing the gyroscope on their treadmill, the Tevis treadmill, back in the service module. And then in the afternoon, the crews will take some well-deserved time off here on the seventh day of the mission. So with that, that's all I had. I'll be glad to open up the floor for any questions.
Okay. And for those of you who are here, if you will just please step up to the mic. Any questions? Go ahead.
Dan Vergano with USA Today. I was wondering if you could say a little bit about the astronauts going from sort of the sublime of the spacewalk and some of the other more dramatic things to the sort of maybe more workaday seeming things that went on today. Is that all in the life of an astronaut?
That is exactly right. In fact, I think it was Mike Fossen actually made that very comment that, you know, just, you know, 24 hours ago, he was doing the most amazing thing that a human being could possibly do, to walk in the, you know, to float in the vacuum of space 240 miles above the Earth. And today, he's basically rearranging a closet, and his buddy is working on the toilet. So yes, that's all in the life of an astronaut.
Robert. Hi, Robert Perlman with CollectSpace.com. Given this crew's tendency to want to work ahead and be eager and getting ahead on their schedule, how much enforcement do you think you'll need to give them to take the time off tomorrow afternoon? Are they eager for the time off, or do you think they might work through that as well?
I think part of the reason they've been working so hard is that they do want to, you know, take advantage of a little bit of downtime. And so I do not expect any problem at all tomorrow getting them to take a little bit of time off. We're going to emphasize that in our morning tag up, that they are actually running ahead of schedule. There's no need at all for them to work into their off-duty time, and I'm sure they'll take advantage of it. They've been going strong for a week straight now without any time off.
Go ahead, Mark.
Thanks, Mark Corot for Aviation Week. You mentioned in your remarks that there was work on the urine processor assembly, and I wondered if that was a repair or maintenance, and just sort of what they were troubleshooting.
And actually, that was all ground-commanded activity. We kicked off another cycle of our urine processor apparatus. And again, there was no crew involvement. The issue was about 10 days ago, over the July 4th weekend, we did have a leak in part of the space station toilet. The pump separator motor had a leak. And in the process of that leak and changing that out successfully, it did allow some air some air was ingested into the urine processor. And so we've been very gingerly and very carefully doing our urine processing to make sure that we're not overstressing any of the components in that. And there was a report of an odor the day before yesterday that we believe is associated with that air that was ingested as it works its way out of the system. So we were pleased today that we were able to process for almost 4 hours with no issues, no odors reported, and no anomalous indications on the equipment there.
Gina Sinceri, ABC News. So tomorrow the crew is having a virtual dinner. Are you going to share in this dinner in Mission Control?
Oh, I hope if they are having a virtual dinner, I do hope we get a little bit of downlink. And they typically do put a camera on for part of that, just to sort of let us share in the fun. And they'll typically, you know, everyone will bring their food to the party, like any good potluck meal with the shuttle food and some of the space station food and the Russian food. So, yeah, hopefully we'll take part in that.
Hi, Irene Klotz with Reuters. I know you're very focused on day-to-day things, but today NASA announced its selection for the nonprofit to run the national lab portion of ISS, and I was wondering if you had any thoughts on operationally what that will mean to have another entity as a kind of a co-host, co-user of station, and also if the agreement, do you think eventually would lead to non-NASA astronauts or non-government astronauts being guest researchers on the station?
Okay, well, I'll hit the last part first. On the shuttle, we used to fly, occasionally would fly a payload specialist, a non-astronaut that would be trained to operate experiments on a shuttle mission. I'm not aware of any plans to do that on the space station, but it's certainly not beyond the realm of possibility considering we've done it in the past. As far as the announcement that you mentioned, I did hear about that. I don't have any detailed knowledge. Obviously, we're focusing on the day-to-day operations of the mission. But just to comment a little bit on where we're going with the space station, this being the last shuttle flight to the station means we're moving from an assembly phase and a resupply, an intense resupply phase of lots and lots of spares, more into a utilization phase where the focus is really going to be on science. We do a lot of science already on the station, but we're expecting to increase the number of hours that the crew works science experiments. And I think this announcement sort of heralds the beginning of that really high utilization phase. And I think the kind of research we're doing on the station, it really provides a lot of benefits for people on Earth. It's not just about how the astronauts adapt to space and proving equipment for space flight. For example, on the flight we're flying now on Atlantis, we're flying an OptiCell processing module, which is a cell biology experiment, and we're also flying 30 mice. And these mice they're having a therapeutic countermeasure for muscle atrophy. So again, the immediate application is for astronauts adapting to weightlessness and the muscle decay that we see in astronauts. But there are applications for people that are on bed rest on the Earth and those with weak muscles that we can understand basically how the human body works, because space is a very unique environment and it allows us to see the human body from a different vantage point. So the life sciences research that we do on space station is very pertinent to life on Earth, as well as the studies of the heavens, like for example the alpha magnetic spectrometer, looking back into the past towards the Big Bang and looking for antimatter. So the space station is just such a unique asset, a national asset that runs the gamut of many different disciplines of science. So I'm excited that we're moving more into the utilization phase.
Philip Sloss with NASASpaceflight.com. I think on Mike's, in the fly plan for Mike, when he was doing the work on PMA-3, there was also a center disc cover install on the port, I guess on the port hatch. Could you just explain why he was doing that now and what that's for?
Yes, he was just doing that to, we wanted to make sure that the items inside the permanent mating adapter number 3 don't shift into the hatch mechanism envelope.
Thanks. Hey, Mark, you have one more?
Thanks, Mark Caro for Aviation Week. I'm going to go back to your report on the cargo transfers and see if I understood correctly. Did you say that half of the MPLM and half of the mid-deck have been transferred to the station side at this point? Or half of the gross?
Half of the we're halfway complete with the number of hours that we expect. So unloading the MPLM is about a third of the hours that we've budgeted, and reloading it is a little more complicated, and that's about two-thirds of the time that we've budgeted. Mm-hmm. So of that total 100% time, we're about 50% completed. So that means we've just about completely unloaded the MPLM. Let me go back. Some of the items have not quite been unloaded from the MPLM yet. I don't have an exact number, but we are in a mixed config where some items are still waiting to come out, and many items to be returned are already in the MPLM. So we're about halfway done in terms of the number of hours that we expect it will take.
And just from a big picture sense, going back to where you sort of anticipated you might be at this point, which is almost the halfway point of the mission with the extension. Do you feel like you're on pace to accomplish what you wanted within the time you have, or is there still a lot of kind of pressure to get everything done?
Yeah, that's a fair question. If we had not had the extension day, we would not be ahead of schedule, and we would not have been able to do, for example, today we would not have been able to afford to have Ron Guerin work on the space station toilet doing a little bit of preemptive maintenance. That took about 4 hours. We would not have done that. We would have had him work in cargo transfer. We would have had to have dedicated the crew more extensively to cargo transfer than we've been able to do. So we've, instead of using the extension day for all cargo transfer, knowing that we're going to get the, that, you know, that we have the extension day in the plan, we're going ahead and filling some of the days with other activities besides cargo transfer.
Denise Chow at space.com. With the amount of cargo that Atlantis brought up, and with a lot of it being for long-term use, has there been any problems with finding places to store all of this cargo on board?
Yes. Yes, that has been a huge challenge. You may recall back on STS-133 earlier this year, Discovery on her last flight brought up another multi-purpose logistics module, Leonardo, and we call it the permanent multi-purpose module now, the PMM. It's berthed to the space station. It is a permanent storage, you can call it a basement because it's on one of the lower hatches towards the Earth, and it is used just for storage. And even with that big module just for storage, after Atlantis's flight, all of its rack storage spaces are going to be full, and 14 out of the 16 racks will have cargo stacked on the front. So it will be, you know, not difficult to get in and out of, but it will certainly be congested and full of lots of spares. And many of the other locations in the space station have more cargo stored on it than was originally intended. I mean, ideally, you'd have a nice, clear path and open faces on the various science racks and hardware racks to where you wouldn't have to move cargo around. But because we have so much cargo stored on station intentionally, it sometimes is difficult to access some of the racks that that the crew needs to access, and sometimes proves to be a challenge to access tools and other hardware that you need for maintenance tasks. So stowage is a challenge. Again, one reason we're bulking up on our cargo is because we're entering a new phase with shuttle being retired. We're going to be dependent upon our commercial resupply vehicles. SpaceX and Orbital are both vying to supply the space station. They'll be coming online early in 2012, and as they go through their flight test program, we wanted to make sure we had plenty of supplies on board in case they run into any problems. And of course, we're always going to be partly reliant on the Russians with their supply craft, as well as the Europeans and Japanese that perform periodic resupply missions with unmanned spacecraft to the space station.
Okay, thank you, Bill.
Bill Harwood, CBS. Just along those lines, I was confused in the pre-flight briefings when Mike Soffredini said that the stuff coming up on this flight would add 6 months when you look at ATV and HTV progress. And everybody else, we've been saying it's a year's worth of supplies, and I'm confused about that. When you're looking ahead to 2012, what exactly are you getting with this flight versus how it's extending?
If we had just this flight and no other resupply missions, we would not be able to make it through 2012. So this flight gets us through 2012, but also including specifically the Russian progress contributions, which the Russians are very key players and important players with cargo delivery, with the progresses, as well as you know, the crew delivery with the Soyuz. So progress plus Atlantis gets us through 2012, and I believe the HTV and ATV plans provide additional margin on top of that.
Is that everybody here today? So maybe let's go to the phone bridge. I think, do we have Marcia?
Yes, hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, the exercise equipment that Mike Fossum bundled up for transfer to the cargo carrier, that sounds pretty big. How bulky is it? How much space is it? you know, just trying to get an idea of what kind of size we're talking about.
Just a rough number, approximately 10 cubic feet.
If you had a compare, if you were looking at that, what would it remind you of all boxed up?
Well, let's see. Our standard cargo transfer bag that you might see on some of the video where the crew is moving those back and forth, it's equivalent to about 10 of those. So 10 small suitcases or large handbags.
Great, thank you. And just one quick question about the urine processor. Was anything done differently to try to get that smell out of the way, or was it just a matter of letting it sit and let the air bubbles or whatever it was go through?
It was the latter. We just let it sit for a day. Primarily, we didn't want to run a risk of introducing any odors yesterday when the crew had a very busy day and a very stressful day of getting in their spacesuits, getting ready for the spacewalk, and performing the robotics operations there in the Tranquility module, which is right across the aisle from our urine processing apparatus. So we stood down on any processing, allowed the system to settle out, and then we reprocessed today. We counted as good news that the odor didn't get released today, but it may reappear tomorrow as this gas works through the system. The engineers looking at the data do not see any abnormal indications, so we really don't have a full understanding of whether all the gas made it out of the system or whether there still might be some odor issues. But again, the crew said, you know, they could live with it, they could deal with it. It's just, again, it's not the kind of thing you want to have when you have house guests and you have a real busy schedule.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you, Chris. And with that, we'll conclude today's mission briefing. The station crew has gone to bed at 4 o'clock. Atlantis Crews is going to bed just now. And up next on NASA TV, just a couple of programming notes. Launching Our Dreams is a special space shuttle program video will air at 5 p.m. Central Time. Here on NASA Television, also Flight Day 6 highlights will begin airing at 6 p.m. These will be aired at the top of every hour. And also a special video on the space shuttle narrated by William Shatner. And tomorrow there will be playback video from Atlantis's solid rocket boosters on splashdown that will begin at 9 a.m. and then there will be other replays after that throughout the day. The next mission status briefing will be held here again tomorrow at 4 p.m. Central Time. Thank you, Chris, and everyone for joining us here. The TV schedule is now on Revision F and can be found at www.nasa.gov/shuttle-tv. Now back to Mission Control Houston.